That's it.
Blog Talk Radio.
James Bosick here, Conservative's Perspective, and we do this in a number of different incarnations. The first, is the live show that we do on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then we have a recorded show that we do for the Superstar Network, the Talk America Radio Network, outstanding people there, Rocky Stucci, the Conservative Cartel, Don Newen, Denise Simon, Donna Fiducia, top flight shows, top flight hosts, just the best programming that you're going to find in alternative media. And they have two streams, the Liberty and the Justice stream. ACP is heard there at various times. You can check their play schedule, follow up on the program. Well, as I'm fond of saying, we live in interesting times. And a lot of things have happened over the last couple of weeks, especially this last week. We've had the missile attack on Syria. Again, another one. This is the second time. Bashar al-Assad apparently is just too dense to get the message that it's not a good idea to kill your own people. Dumbass. So, and somebody, the Never Trumpers, the left, you know, they're all jumping up and down and they're ducking and covering, just waiting on the nuclear war that this act was guaranteed to bring immediately. Let me tell you something, guys. Last week, We find out, and I don't want to hear any black flag. I don't want to hear any false flag. I don't want to hear any Reichstag fire comparisons. I don't want to hear any put up jobs, any hoaxes. All right, this guy is a tyrant. He's an SOB. His dad was a tyrant and an SOB who killed hundreds of thousands of Syrians. You understand? The apple didn't fall far from the tree with this creep. It wasn't staged by the British. It wasn't done by CIA operatives to look like Syrians. it was Syrians. It was Bashar Dam al-Assad, okay, the guy that was calling the shots, the guy that's been calling the shots, the strong man, the tin horn. He did this. He said, do it. You know why? Well, here's why. He's got a bunch of rebels operating in his country, and he wants to get rid of them. They're a threat to his power, obviously. Now, we're not talking about whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. We're just assessing this particular situation. He has rebels in his country. They wish to unseat him. Not necessarily for something better, but they wish to unseat him. Bashar al-Assad has been in power since his dad and his dad. So it's been good to him. He likes it. And he doesn't want to give up power. Now, this happened in Aleppo about a year or so ago. Remember, Donald Trump was having dinner with Mar-a-Lago, and some little Chinese aide scurried in while they were in the middle of dessert and informed President Xi Jinping that the crazy Yankee imperialist has sent a cruise missile strike in Syria. He's targeted their weapons, their chemical weapons facilities and research centers. So last week, I think it might have been Tuesday or Wednesday, after this has happened and Donald Trump has, you know, suitably demonstrated his outrage. And I believe he's genuinely outraged. Anybody, you know, anybody with any shred of humanity seeing this would have to be outraged. And Donald Trump's no different. Except, as leader of the free world, Donald Trump can do a little something about this. Just because the other guy didn't and didn't want to and didn't have any stomach for it doesn't mean it cannot be done. And Donald Trump saw to that. And he made sure everybody knew. He said, you know, the missile attacks could come pretty soon or maybe not so soon. Within a day, the Russian naval presence in the port there in Syria left, just up and gone. The Iranians that were working with Assad's own tech people in the manufacture and the development areas for chemical weapons, and Bashar al-Assad, most likely himself and his family, with the Iranians went across the border. They up and left. So the missiles fall. Over 100 split up between, I think, three targets. The, you know, the production center and distribution center and then the research facilities. And everybody was on target. And this is pretty embarrassing for the Russians because, you see, they sold the Iranians and Assad a bunch of ground radar and surface-to-air missile equipment that was supposed to be the best of the best. And when those missiles fell to the earth, they fell because they were over their target and it was time for them to detonate. It wasn't because Bashar al-Assad and his crack anti-aircraft squads did anything. It doesn't work. It's junk. So the Russians, understandably, embarrassed by the dismal failing of their hardware. Interesting test for us as well, because in those 2 or 3 days between Donald Trump saying, yeah, we're going to hit you pretty soon, or maybe not so soon, you just don't know with me, and I'm going to keep you guessing, and that's exactly what he did. And by keeping them guessing, they revealed, you know, we won't know about it, but some very valuable technical and logistical information on how they on how things are done in the modes of cooperation between the Russians and the Iranians and the Syrians. So some pretty valuable intelligence that has been gathered here. And then you know, they evaluate, well, we've got these targets. These are the ones, this is where it's being produced. This is where it was distributed from. And they show this to the president. The president goes, all right, pull the trigger. So the Navy and the Air Force pull the trigger. And lead's put on target. And I'm not going to say mission accomplished because everybody jumps on that. But to a certain extent, with this particular mission, not with any long-term policy, foreign policy engagement concerning Syria or any foreign policy changes concerning Syria, this particular mission was accomplished with Ilan and Panache. So everybody said, if he does this, if he does these sorts of things, it's just going to gin up a nuclear war. The Russians are going to retaliate almost immediately. The Iranians are going to lose their minds. And, you know, who knows what the hell the Chinese are going to do. Well, nobody did anything. The Russians wound up being embarrassed because as soon as this tweet, it wasn't even an official statement. It was a tweet on Twitter. And the Russians hauled the mail out of there. They got their naval assets out of harm's way. Maybe they knew they were selling the Syrians and the Iranians a bunch of junk when they sold them these SAM missile radar detection systems and interceptors missiles. Well, the secret's out. So, and in addition to this, because of Russia's complicity in this, there are going to be a series of pretty tough economic sanctions that President Trump's going to put in place. This is what the Russians are probably worried about more than anything, because these economic sanctions will sting. He's not afraid to seize assets. He's not afraid to freeze funds. And this could hurt him. This could hurt him. Thus, Syria. James Comey has a book out. Now, if you remember, James Comey is the disgraced former FBI director. And got an article. Who did this? I don't know who did this. This may be, it's a short one. It's like a little blog. And I think this is most likely Daniel Greenfield. It doesn't give me a byline here, and I'll check it to see. But based on, yeah, this is Greenfield. I can just tell by the writing style. Really smart guy. Shulman journalism fellow. And he's a frequent, he's a daily contributor to frontpagemag.com. Some remarkably intelligent people are writing some great stuff. And if you're really serious about, you know, looking into this stuff, that's a great place to go to, frontpagemag.com, American Thinker. Breitbart, of course, kind of shying away from Drudge these days. I think he's more interested in clickbait and ad revenue than he used to be in terms of getting the juice out there, if you know what I mean. James Comey is a hero, according to Daniel Greenfield. No question about it. He's tall. He's got a book tour, so he's got to be a hero. Either that or he's just a tall guy with a book deal. It's not too clear, though, what makes him a hero. Now, in the interest of disclosure, before I get too far along in this article, I can remember, and you know, I'm sure somebody probably already gone back if they had absolutely nothing else to do and look into the archives. Originally, I was one of the people who was cheering for James Comey because based on everything that I had read about him and the opinions that were coming forward at that time, he was a fair-minded man. He was an objective, dispassionate man. He was going to do his job. If there were law, he was going to investigate to see if there were any crimes committed, and had there been crimes committed, and there were, he would make the necessary arrests. Well, didn't happen that way. Turns out, Comey's a Clinton guy, along with a lot of embeds, a lot of left-wing Obama, Clinton types that were left behind in that last 8 years where Barack Obama was there. If you're on the left, then James Comey was the guy who tried to thread the needle on Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, walking the tightrope, and all heroes must occasionally mix a metaphor, until he couldn't. His testimony before Congress was a confused mess. His leadership at the FBI was even worse. His only real remarkable achievement was getting fired. And then he ran for his book deal. Well, the Comey brand is that he is a man of principle. But when did he actually ever stand on that principle? What principled acts did he commit? You can disagree with what principle entails, but even across the political divide, we can agree that at least it involves taking some sort of stand, taking some sort of position. James Comey didn't take stands. He tried to work within the system. He struggled with infighting in his own agency. He created a fallback plan by leaking classified notes to protect his own career, and then only got the hero rebrand once he was fired. USA Today headlines, James Comey book, Trump likened to mob boss called unethical and untethered to truth. Untethered to truth. Unethical. According to Molly K. Cooper, in an article she did from The Hill magazine, James Comey last May testified that he had never authorized leaks of information on the 2016 candidates or had been an anonymous source in news stories about investigations related to them. He also said he had no knowledge of classified information about either campaign being shared with the press. Now, if the alleged journalists and interviewers who are going to be talking to this guy were actually interested in the truth instead of wanting to aid and abet James Comey in being out to get Trump, there are some other questions that we will never hear James Comey being asked, I don't think. And here's the first one. Mr. Comey, it is obvious that you committed perjury before Congress. Shouldn't an FBI director who commits perjury not only be fired, but also charged with perjury? You wrote an exoneration letter for Hillary Clinton months before the investigation was completed. Can you name other people you did that for? I'm sure you knew the Russian dossier was fake, so why was it used as a pretense to spy? Is it ever okay for a sitting president to spy on a presidential candidate for another party? Can you tell us when this has happened before your FBI and President Barack Obama? Mr. Comey, if there were actual evidence of Russian collusion, wouldn't both candidates be monitored instead of just Donald Trump, especially since the Obama administration, FBI, intelligence agencies, and the Justice Department all knew that Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee funded the dossier? And didn't Hillary and Bill Clinton and John Podesta have relationships with Russia? So why was there And is there no investigation of them if we're so worried about Russia? Shouldn't there be a serious investigation of Hillary and the Clinton Foundation related to the Russian uranium sale? Guys, you have heard me beat that drum since 2015. Pete Schweitzer's book, Clinton Cash, The Hillbilly Cash Pump. 20% of our uranium reserves are now owned by a Russian business entity. What violation of the criminal statutes was Robert Mueller appointed under? See, nobody really knows. They talk about collusion, and here's the thing. Collusion is not a crime. I didn't play this clip. I meant to play this clip last week, and I didn't. I'm not real sure why. But I'm going to go ahead and play it now. On Sean Hannity's program, late last week, two of the greatest legal minds, two fantastic legal minds, maybe not the greatest, but certainly relevant legal minds for today. One of them, former U.S. Attorney Joe DiGenova, and the other one, Alan Dershowitz. I think he's at Yale, law professor at Yale. And perhaps maybe the last, certainly the last principled liberal in media, perhaps the last principled liberal at all. And I'm going to pull this up. Hopefully everything's going to work. We've been fundamentally blessed with, well, it's working, but I'm not finding the one I want. And that's not good because I know it's here. So anyway, we'll find it. Could be under Sean Hannity. It's always tough when I do this stuff. Alan Dershowitz, 433. That's not the one. It's a longer. It's about 8 minutes, but it's great between these guys. And daggone it, I always hate it when this happens and I can't find the stuff I'm looking for. Didn't have a whole lot of time. I was kind of pressed this evening, running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I had track practice with the Special Olympics this evening, and I really feel good about my chances this year. I think I'm going to do well, so I'm excited about that. So I was running doing that, and then finally got home in time to get tuned in and into the studio to do this, and wow, I mean, it's just been go, man, go the whole time. And really bothers me that I can't find this because it's great. Anyway, you know what? We're down to the bottom of the hour, so I think what I'll do is I'll just go ahead and take a brief musical pause, and then we will come back with this interview. Hopefully I can find it. But right now, as it stands, kids, I'm not feeling well. I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind.
Hey. James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective. We're doing this. This is one of the live incarnations. Tuesdays and Thursdays we do this live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do it at blogtalkradio.com at the Patriot Nation Radio Network Studios. It's nice to be here with you. Of course, then we do a recorded program for the Talk America Radio Network. You go to talkamericaradio.org. You can find those guys, outstanding hosts, outstanding program, top drawer stuff all the way. ACP is humbled and honored to be a part of it. Well, finally, it took a little doing, but we were able to come up with this clip. Again, Joseph DeGeneva, former U.S. attorney, and Alan Dershowitz, Yale law professor. And again, as I said, perhaps the last principled liberal, definitely the last principled liberal in India, maybe the last principled liberal in the entire galaxy, and a remarkably keen legal mind. The noise has been made, and I don't know if the president is entertaining it any longer. I don't think he is. The noise has been made that special counsel Robert Mueller would like to interview the president. Well, that whole thing is nothing but a stinking perjury trap from the get-go, and I don't know that the president honestly should lower himself and consent to be interviewed by this guy. But anyway, we're going to let these two guys, Ron Hannity, late week before last, like Thursday or Friday of last week, and they hashed this out, and here's what they had to say about it. This is on Sean Hannity's show, Alan Dershowitz, and a U.S. attorney, Joe DeGeneva. Check this out.
I'm joining us now with more reaction to our opening monologue, the author of the best-selling book, Trumped Up, How Criminalization of Political Differences Endangers Democracy, Professor Alan Dershowitz, and former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, Joe DeGeneva, two of the smartest lawyers in the country. You know, last night, I got such incredible reaction to your comments. Collusion's not a crime, but we go from collusion to obstruction to then bank records. He's not a target, but the media is like, well, he's not a target, but he's still in jeopardy. It's like there's no winning here.
I have to tell you, if after a year of very thorough investigation and going after all the low-hanging fruit and getting people not only to sing, but some of them even perhaps to compose, if they couldn't have shifted him from a subject to a target, there's nothing there.
What are they hoping?
Of course they're hoping, but I think they understand that. Now they're going after very, very weak issues, collusion. I challenge Mueller to tell me what statute is violated by collusion. There's a memo now by Rosenstein authorizing him to investigate collusion with the Russians by Manafort. But you can't investigate sins. You can only investigate federal crimes, and there is no such federal crime as collusion.
How do they not know that?
They know it, but they hope that by investigating collusion, they'll get somebody to obstruct justice, to commit perjury, to commit one of these other peripheral crimes. As they always say, it's in the cover-up, but it's not the cover-up. It's that prosecutors induce cover-ups, which is why innocent people shouldn't be testifying unless they absolutely have to, because you can be indicted for perjury even if you tell the truth. If you say something and somebody else says a different
thing. That's a spectacular statement. Yeah. You can be indicted for perjury even if you tell the truth.
That's right, because if somebody contradicts you and the prosecutor believes the person contradicting you, you're indicted for perjury even though you told the truth.
I'm going to get back to that question in just a second. Let me go to Joe DeGeneva. Joe, Rod Rosenstein issues this letter to Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing him to go after Paul Manafort the way he did, a week after they did the raid. Now, why do I think the order of that legally needs to be reversed?
Well, let's say this, first of all, about Rod Rosenstein. His conduct from the beginning of this has been a disgrace, legally and every other way. He is an embarrassment to the administration. It is truly too bad that he cannot be fired. But let's be very clear about this. The president has never been a target. The fact that he has been recently notified that he is a subject means absolutely nothing. He is not even a subject. He is a witness. A subject is a person whose conduct is within the scope of the grand jury's investigation. What the hell does that mean? It means they don't have anything on him. There have been 19 criminal cases, not one piece of evidence against the president of the United States. And now we are told that Mueller wants to wants to interview the President of the United States, who knows nothing, who has been a witness to nothing, who is not a target of the investigation. What we are seeing now is conduct by two public officials, Robert Mueller and Rod Rosenstein, that is unethical, unprofessional, an embarrassment to the United States government, and is undermining equal enforcement of the law.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Because of what they are doing to a president of the United States. Rod Rosenstein single-handedly has taken away from the sitting president of the United States 16 months of his presidency by his incompetent and fearful conduct. You know why Rod Rosenstein appointed Mueller? Because he didn't want to make the tough decisions that you'd have to make if you were supervising a case being run by a United States attorney like Huber. Rod Rosenstein is a coward. He's a disgrace to the Department of Justice. It's a shame
and you can't
that the president cannot fire him because of the political consequences.
They can't fire him, but it's amazing that he hasn't been recused. After all, he is the main witness on whether or not collusion or whether or not, I'm sorry, whether or not obstruction of justice occurred with the firing of Comey. And he wrote the memo.
Doesn't the president have absolute right to fire anybody?
Well, he does. But, you know, politically, there's a difference between having the right to do it and it being right to do it. I just want to comment on one thing that Joe said. He's absolutely right that they have deprived the president of the opportunity to govern. But the Republicans did the same thing to Clinton. When they impeached him, they knew they were never going to get him removed from the Senate.
At least it was 60 years into his presidency.
Well, but still, they made a mistake, and I think they paid a heavy consequence for it. I think the Democrats would pay a heavy cost if they made the same mistake, trying to impeach without being able to remove.
I want to ask...
By the way, yeah. I want to say something about this notion that Mueller wants to question the president. What does he want to question him about?
All right, this is my
First
question,
of all,
though,
he
Joe.
He cannot
is...
question him about the firing of Comey. That is an Article II constitutional
Absolutely.
Authority that the president
mm-hmm.
has to fire Comey. He had every right to fire Flynn. Suppose they say, what were you thinking when you fired Comey? What were you thinking when
what
you fired Flynn?
What kind of question
Flynn?
Is that?
Well, by the way,
these are the kind of stupid questions
right,
that
let me,
could
let me
be
throw
asked.
Out this question to both
this
of you.
This is a perjury trap. Plain and simple.
I agree with
this
the perjury
nonsense.
Trap point.
This mm-hmm. is absolutely
right.
outrageous.
But
should end right now.
Here's the question I have, because I'm sure Robert Mueller does want to question the president. So,
Definitely.
Professor,
yeah.
I would advise him not to. I don't have your experience.
Well,
but to me, it's
questions.
A trap.
Here's the
written
problem.
Questions.
Here's the problem.
Written questions.
Joe, one second.
Okay.
Hang on, Professor.
Here's the problem. The special counsel has the power to put him in front of a grand jury without a lawyer. So he has some leverage. What I would suggest, and the president might consider this, is if he's asked the question, why did you fire Comey, his answer is, you're not allowed to ask me or question any Article II decision I make. Just like you can't question senators for their vote, you can't question justices for their vote. If I acted within the authority of Article II, I cannot be compelled or asked why I did something.
Would you advise this president to say no to any interview?
Well, I'm not advising the president.
No, I know you're
giving
not.
Giving general statement.
Would you advise the president?
I would suggest that it would be best if the president refused to answer certain questions that intruded on his Article II powers.
Last word, Joe. Same question.
The president should not agree to an interview, in my opinion, and I'm not giving him legal advice. I'm talking on this show. The president should, at the most, answer written questions in a very limited area, and he should never, ever be interviewed. This is an abomination and a
violation. Even if it means
a
year-long fight over executive privilege, that battle should be waged.
In my opinion, the president should not sit down for an interview. He can answer written questions in a very limited area, maybe 10, 12 questions.
But what if he's subpoenaed? What if he's subpoenaed in front of the grand jury? What would he do then?
I think what you do at that point is you have to argue Article II. And if Bob Mueller wants to take the president of the United States, who is not involved in any of the 19 charges that he has brought thus far, into a court over testimony, I think that would be one of the most disgraceful periods in American history. Absolutely outrageous.
You guys are amazing. I want you guys on every night. This is really important commentary. Thank you both.
And it's rare that Joe and I agree about anything.
I know. That,
today we agree.
We didn't
today,
agree a long
today,
time ago.
Today,
agree on
today
most
it's
things.
Perfection.
Okay. Joseph DeGeneva, former U.S. attorney, and Alan Dershowitz. the thing is, and all this, all of it, and I say this openly and freely without shame. It's so weedy. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we get into, you know how we are about getting in the weeds on this crap, and we have to. And this whole thing is so weedy. It's so tangled up. And they talk about all these potentialities of what could happen should the president deign to speak to this idiot, Bob Mueller. And all these different things, all these different conspirators, and we've talked about them. I've broken this thing down a bunch. This is not the sort of thing that you talk about one time and then you move on to something else. It's too big. It's too vast in its scope. And for all of the names of the players that we're aware of, that we know about, there's got to be tenfold more that we're unaware of. Maybe 20. You can spread and you can embed a lot of bad things in an organism over 8 years, and government is very much an organism. So with all of this, with all of it, and certain names, and we know these names, we've talked about them. I mean, it's getting to the point where you got to have a program because you can't tell your mother-in-law from a baboon's ass without a program because all of these characters come out. But the thing is, and even with all that, and how convoluted this whole thing is, and how vast, and this is a conspiracy. I know what I sound like, but there it is. It's a conspiracy. Look at all the names. Look at all the connections. But even in spite of all those things, the bottom line is this. At its base alloy, at the end of the day, when we cut this sucker down and there's nothing left but the bone, the bone is no good because the bone is not real. See, for all of this to work, for everything to work, there has to be, even if it's just a tiny bit, there has to be some basis in fact. But there is none, is there? No. This information, this dossier, is product. It is not fact. It was not discovered. It was not reported. It was not witnessed. It was not corroborated. It was not verified. It cannot be verified. It cannot be confirmed. And the reason that it cannot be verified and the reason it cannot be confirmed is because it never happened. It was produced. That's why I call it product. It was manufactured. The root idea, and we've already talked about that, the root idea came from the Clinton campaign. Now, there were two conduits here. There were two ways that this worked. There was information, and there was money. A lot of money. Now, the money came from the DNC, Democrat National Committee, and the Hillary Clinton campaign. Now, the money went to the Perkins Coie law firm, where it was dispersed to Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS, in turn, dispersed the money to Rent-A-Spy, Christopher Steele, who takes the money to Russia. Now, along with the money, he takes a framework for an idea. Now, this idea came, as did the cash, from the Clinton campaign. My God, this is a good show. And the money, same place, Clinton campaign, the information goes through a guy named Cody Shearer at the State Department. Shearer, longtime Clinton aide. He worked at the State Department when the Hildebeest was there during Obama's first term. He's plugged in. This information goes from the Clinton campaign to Cody Shearer, who many people believe is the actual architect of this whole scenario where Trump is in Moscow and he orders up some chicks and pays them to pee on a bed that apparently Barack and Michelle stayed in. It's all crazy, and none of it's true any damn way. So, armed with this information, this framework that comes from the Clinton campaign and cash through the Clinton campaign, by the way, of Perkins & Coie, the law firm who disperses it to Fusion GPS, who gets it to dude, Steele. So he goes over to Russia and he starts talking, colluding, if you will, with former representatives and current representatives of the Russian government, people who were former KGB types, which is now their Federal Security Bureau, the FSB, but their intelligence arm. Some of them are active. Some of them used to be in the business, like Steele. So he takes his money and he talks to these people. And they kind of flesh out this framework, giving it enough detail to be salacious and sensational and titillating. But at the same time, it's still kind of murky. We really, you know, it's he said from this guy who knew Sergei, who was running around with Ivan that night, and they ran into Vladimir, and every, you know, so it's, you know, it's nebulous enough, but, and that's what it was. So Steele goes over and he pays these guys money to help him flesh this thing out. They do, and they're happy to do it because they paid about $500,000, $750,000 minimum for this thing. And that money, again, that money comes from the Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee, who sends the money to Fusion GPS, who are now what? They are paid agents of the Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee. And they, in turn, pay their agent, Christopher Steele, to go to Russia and conduct this gigantic, nasty, icky, crusty, funky smear that they try to perpetrate on the president, well, in that time, the presidential candidate, Donald Trump, with the intent of altering the election in such a manner that Hillary Clinton would secure the presidency. Don't stop me because I'm preaching good. You guys, this is how this stuff happened. It was just that simple. And again, at the root cause of all this falderal, all this rhubarb, all this hubbub, is gossip. A manufactured story. Fiction.
Well, yeah, but if that's the case, why did it go on so long? What did it be so far for?
Well, I don't know about that. This is just the theater, is the point that I'm getting at. But it is destructive theater, and there's a lot of misinformation going on. Don't watch Fox. Don't watch Fox. Don't watch any of the rest of them either. And you know what? Look somewhat skeptically at what I tell you as well. Do your own research. Find out. This is where I'm at. with it thus far. These are the things that I found out from sources that I consider fundamentally reliable, unless they've been playing me for a jerk for the last 5.5 years, and these cats have been fundamentally consistent, not only in their assessments, but their predictions and forecasts and speculation. And the thing is, and this is what I cannot help but think, if enough of us, you and I, if enough of us were aware, okay, you know, I know, we've been talking about it for a while, you cats are probably tired of hearing me, but we got to keep talking about it. This is too big, it's too vast to just lay out there and do a couple of shows on and then walk away from it and chase some other bright, shiny object. This is serious business. One part of the Inspector General's report came out last week, and it was like a 30-page, 32-page thing, and it focused simply on the sins and the crimes of Andrew McCabe, Deputy Director, FBI. I read enough of it. I looked at it all. I probably should go back and read it a couple of more times in greater detail, but nonetheless, just in a cursory viewing, what you see from this individual at this position in power literally should shock and appall you. And not only just to sit and be shocked and appalled, but move you into some sort of action. Some, you know, you got to call people. I mean, you got to raise up some sand on this. We've talked about this. Kesterson, when he was on here, we need to get Kesterson on here one of these days. Windbag. I miss him. But you know, and he would talk about this, and he was absolutely right. You start it at the local level, and you pay attention to what the guys are doing at the local level, and it's there that you begin to exert your influence, and you bring to bear pressure on these guys to hold them accountable or replace them, and further on up the food chain. And he was always very, very focused on that. But there is a bigger picture. And he's absolutely right when he talks about the tactical mindset, which is nothing more than a serenity prayer. We've talked about that too. But you need to be made aware of these things. You've got to be informed of them. And you're not going to get informed of them from Fox News. You're not going to get informed from CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, PBS, NPR. None of them. None of them, Jack. Sit. You're going to have to come to cats like me. You're going to have to come to cats like Don Newen, Donna Fiducia. You're going to have to come to cats like Mark Hoffman, The Keeper. People, you know, nobody gets paid for that. If I had a nickel for every time I did one, if I had a nickel an hour for every time I'd done one of these shows or sat on my bohunkus in front of this microphone or doing show prep or whatever to, you know, because I'm kind of conscientious and I want to do a good job. I wouldn't have to do this. I wouldn't have to do anything if I didn't want to. And that's not why we do it. I just love radio. I'm a radio guy. And everybody else that's in this business, but you can do this research. There's a wealth of information out there that I use. And you can take a look at the same things I look at. It's not a secret. You can take a look at the same things that any of these guys look at that are informed of it. And I appreciate you listening to me, and I enjoy very much the opportunity to get to spend time with you and share some of this stuff that I find online that resonates with me. But like I said, you know, don't take my word for it either. You got an internet.
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Alexa,
quiet.
Man, she is so self-insistent. My brother got me an Alexa for Christmas. My brother got me a him for Christmas, and it's really close. And if it hears something that sounds like him, it comes on and wants to try and talk to me. Have you guys seen the Facebook thing where the dude asks, this is an echo, but same concept, asks Amanda, if she works for the CIA, and you know, the light goes on that shows you that Amanda's thinking, and then all of a sudden, poof, it shuts off. It shut down. Saw the video on Facebook just for kicks. I tried it on Anita over here. Exactly the same thing happened. Just shut down. No answer, no nothing. So I called her again. I said, Amelia. And bloop, she turns on. And ask about why, you know, how come you didn't tell me about the CIA thing, sweetheart? And she doesn't know anything. But now suddenly she's got amnesia. She's never worked for the CIA. She's only worked for Amazon and loves only me. So, you know, just, something's going on here. So, but check that out. Be mindful of that. People say that, and I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat or anything like that, but it did happen, and I was inspired by what I saw on Facebook, and daggone if the same thing did not happen. It was hilarious. And then, you know, every now and then I'll say, hey, Antonia, you never did square up with me on that CIA thing, and she's, I don't know what you're talking about. I love only you. And but yeah, so you guys want to check that out. If you've got an Anison there at your house, look into that. Try that out and see what they say, man. Well, you know what? We're down about the last 5 minutes of the show. And I guess we kind of talked about all the crap I was going to talk about. But, you know, we could have gone on with this thing. But again, the thing of it is, and this is the undeniable truth, whatever James Comey says, whatever Bob Mueller claims he has going on, whatever Rod Rosenstein does, or any whatever these guys say, or how they make it look, the bottom line is this. The root, the basis for all this, the dossier, is nothing. It's not based in fact. It's made up. It's a story designed to titillate, to smear, to besmirch. That's all it is. It never happened. It's all made up. ACP is heard here twice a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a live program, or not, well, this is the live program, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have a recorded program that goes out to the Talk America Radio Network, and you can find those great folks at talkamericaradio.org. Two audio streams, the Liberty and Justice Stream. ACP is on both of those at various times throughout the week. And I would heartily encourage you to go over there. Now, Thursday nights, here, live, back-to-back, and this is how the original configuration was. I think it was on Fridays. Originally, it was on Fridays. But then we moved to Thursdays. And it's been myself with a conservative perspective at 7, followed immediately by Mark Hoffman and the Patriot Nation Radio Network's Patriot Nation Radio Live. One of the strongest, most powerful 1-2 punch combinations in all of the new alternative media, and we're proud to handle that moniker. Mark and I have been doing this for about 3 years now, almost 4 years, and slowly Patriot Nation Radio is growing, and ACP is really proud to be a part of that, just like we're proud to be a part of Talk America, the Internet Conservative Radio Network, and all the other various and sundry places that allow the show to be posted throughout the world wide web of danger and intrigue. So having said that, let me say this. We're done for the evening. I'm basically talked out. It's been great to be here with you. I appreciate the opportunity to visit. We will be back next Thursday. Well, this coming Thursday, just a day away. And I guarantee you there's going to be more exciting, sensational, titillating crap that's going to come out. But at the bottom line, the damn dossier is bogus, man. None of it means anything. Not a bit. It's all theater. It's very detrimental, and it can be very divisive and destructive. Those were all D's. I should make a better attempt to avoid alliteration at all avenues. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it very much. We'll see you this Thursday again. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here, blogtalkradio.com, Patriot Nation Radio Network, where we will be taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. I'm James Bostic. God bless all of you. God bless the United States of America.